Several years ago, there was a movie called A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. It was taken from Solzhenitsyn's book, A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. It started out with the early morning there in the middle of nowhere, a prison camp, a Russian prison camp, and this young man, Ivan Denisovich, getting up. And from that moment on, we follow him through one entire day of slave work. He ends the day at night going to bed as the lights go out and thanking God for all that he had experienced that day. Well, what I'd like to do is to portray a day in the life of a diocesan priest, a parish priest, and what it might be like. I do this because this is the year of the priest, and so often we don't really have a good picture of the daily life of a priest in a parish. It is anything but ordinary. It is anything but routine. In fact, each day comes with new challenges and unforeseen things that, wow, that really wow you. What is it like? Well, I'm going to pull from my own experience and the experiences of priests that I know, that I've lived with and pastored with. First of all, you get up, as Ivan Denisovich did, and for some of us, the day begins with shaving, getting dressed, and then maybe going over and pulling out our breviary and maybe saying matins in the morning or some prayers that we have that are our favorites. Other priests may get up in the morning, do all of that, and of course we have the daily homily, and it might be a time for going back over that daily homily, what we want to say, and how we want to say it. The morning, for many priests, starts with prayer or a prayerful reflection on the readings of the day. You go over to the parish, you open the doors, you put everything out, light the candles, or if you have a deacon or a sacristan, that is already done. And then there is the daily Mass with its homily. After Mass, it's customary to go and have breakfast, but that doesn't always happen. There may be somebody who wants to go to confession, or somebody who's got a problem that would like to talk to you about it, or someone who would just like to talk about something that's happening in the parish. This is frequent, and it's not unheard of. There's always somebody there after Mass wanting to talk. I often think about this as a moment of leaning, people leaning on the priest. It's not in a negative sense of the word, but they're there. They're looking for some comfort or some understanding or some listening or whatever. And there we are and expected to be there for them, to appreciate what their problem may be, if there is a problem, and to respond to it as best as we can. Once we get to out of the church and have breakfast, it is not unusual that someone will come through the rectory, if the rectory is an open house type rectory, and give you some of the business that may have taken place the day before or something that should be taken care of during that day. In many rectories, a certain day is put aside in which the pastor meets with the various committees in the parish. And they go over the schedule, they go over what has happened, they evaluate, and then they plan for the future. It can be religious education, it can be outreach to the poor, it can be outreach to those who are in homes, whatever the ministries are that are in that parish. There is many a pastor who takes the time out to sit down with those people who are in those ministries and to find out what is happening and what more might be happening if they do it better. That is normal in an early morning rectory or pastoral center if the parish has one. Another thing that's very usual is in many parishes, funerals take place either on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. It's very common, in especially a parish in which there are elders, to have a funeral maybe at 10 o'clock in the morning that you've just celebrated Mass. That is one of the things that comes out of the blue often, because death is that way, and just we are there to serve them. That's priestly ministry. I myself, sometimes in the morning, will go to the bank to see where all the funds are and what is needed. And on the way, living in Washington, D.C., especially on Capitol Hill, and being in a city, I run into homeless people. And there are some that I've gotten to know very well, and they are really, truly homeless and unfortunate. And those, every so often, I will give something to keep them going during the day for some food or whatever they need. There are others who are homeless, but they're playing the streets. And once you catch on to it, you realize they could be helping themselves a lot more, and that when we help them out, it's not really helping them out. One of the things I try to do, and I know a lot of priests do when they're dealing with such cases, is to listen and to be there for these people and not just to shrug them off and, you know, give them a couple of dollars and move on. But once in a while to stop and ask them how they're doing, what they're doing, and how they're sustaining themselves, and what might be some of their biggest problems at the moment. That is common in cities, because there are many, many homeless people today, especially now with the economy being so poor. But these homeless people are homeless people not because they don't have a home, but also because mentally they're not there a lot of times. And that might consume the morning. And then in the afternoon, it is customary in many parishes to visit maybe the shut-ins, or to go off to the hospitals and visit those who are in hospitals. In many parishes, there are multiple hospitals, and there's always someone needing ministry there. It's interesting, one of the most interesting things of all is, in being a diocesan priest and visiting these hospitals, you not only visit the sick, but there are so many others that you bump into and you actually have contact with. For example, there may be nurses there that are from the parish or who have gotten to know you because you visit frequently. Same way with doctors and administrators of hospitals. So going to a hospital is not just visiting the sick, but often it can be a very social thing in the afternoons because you meet so many people that you may have known. And you sit back and you chit-chat with them every so often. Then, with that being said, there may be other things that come up in the afternoon besides just visiting hospitals. In some parishes, the pastor or the associate pastor may know of some talk that's being given, and they are invited, and they go. And it's a way of continuing one's education. There is always something going in the city. And there's always something you can attend. And it's very enriching because you have all of these opportunities to learn about multiculturalism and how to deal with depression and how to deal with this problem or that problem. And those little jaunts to listen to that can pay big dividends. As the day winds down, you never know again what is going to cross your path. You may come back into the rectory, and the secretary says, well, so-and-so called, such-and-such emailed you, blah, 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 blah. And so you've got to go through all of your emails and answer them. There may be faxes there from the diocesan office that need to be attended to. There may be calls that you have to return. And you spend some time at the desk taking care of all of these. And if you are a pastor, you don't stop there. Oh, no. There's always bills to be paid and the budget to be looked at. And that's constant, because bills are coming in all the time. And so part of your pastoral work is consumed with that. And then, of course, there is the janitor. And there's always something breaking down in the school, if you have a school, the bathrooms, and the church. Recently, we have renovated our church, and unfortunately, something in the ceiling let loose the other day, and well, that has to be attended to. There's always something, especially with older churches, but it doesn't have to be an old church. It can even be a new church that needs attending to, something that has broken down and needs to be fixed. And so it may be some time with the janitor. Or maybe some time, if you have a deacon and you're blessed with it, to sit down with him or even to work with him. I know in some parishes, the deacon and the priest will go when they're visiting hospitals together. And that's very nice to have each other as companions. If the deacon has the time, and in many cases the deacons are retired and can do this. As the day winds down, one of the things that I can say from experiencing pastoral life is that many of our pastors do not have cooks. Most of them don't. So they have to fend for themselves. In the evening may mean going out to a restaurant, or it may mean sometimes just catching a meal on the fly. This to me has always been a pastoral disaster because so many of our men do not eat properly, do not sit down and really eat a full meal. And it's not prepared properly. And so the vitamins and everything else that you're supposed to get when you eat balanced meals is not there. But there are priests, pastors, who make it a point to watch their diet and to eat the proper foods. But generally speaking, from my own experience, not many of them are good cooks, and not many of them really eat properly. The evening can be really filled out, or it can be totally silent. Usually after dinner, that's when people come home from work. And that's when parents can come and visit you if they have a problem with their children or the school or whatever. Or if there are people who want to get married and want to sit down and fill out papers with you and clear up what has to be done for a marriage. There may be some who have lost somebody and they're coming in to make funeral arrangements. There's always something in the evening for a priest because that is the time when most working people have time to really sit down with a priest and do business if they have to do business with him. The evening can go very long. It can go long for a number of reasons. If you have a funeral, you go to the wake. If you go to the wake, you usually have a wake service, and that entails travel, it entails prayer, it entails dealing with people, speaking with them, listening to them, comforting the bereaved. It can be an all-night affair just going to one wake. That is often the case with parishes that have many funerals. Or it could be that there is a parishioner that wants to talk to you and they want to take you out to dinner, which is always nice if you don't have to listen to too many problems. And I have found that to be very comforting at times, just to go out with some parishioners and just talk about their life and where it's going. It's also very comforting when young people will come to you and they're looking for spiritual guidance. And you go out and you have a hamburger with them and find out where they're at in their life. These are some of what I would call the pastoral perks of being a priest. The evening, if you're lucky, will end maybe around 10 o'clock. For us, we have the obligation of reciting the breviary. And if we haven't done it in the morning, we're supposed to do it in the evening. And so there is a little prayer life that goes on in the late hours of the evening. Also, there is the next day, and also there is, again, a homily to prepare. So you have to look at the readings for tomorrow and then find out what can be said for those people who are out there in front of you. And when I say for those people who are out in front of you, that means you have to enter into where they are at in their life and then look at the gospel and see how it pertains to that moment in their life. And this takes some work and some thinking through because the Gospels, we read them over and over again and they're the same story, but they're not the same message all the time. They have different messages for different times and for different peoples in their settings. And so that is what you might call the life of a priest, a day in the life of a diocesan parish priest, especially pastors. And I say especially pastors because many of the parishes today no longer have the luxury of having a pastoral associate because of the priest shortage. There is much, much more that goes into the daily life of parish priests. The unexpected things that happen in which we are called on immediately to respond to. I think those of us who just reflect on our own pastoral situations and what we have in our own parishes can point to other things that we attend to, and a lot of times they come right out of the blue. They're not expected. I hope this gives a somewhat of a portrait of the day, of a day in the life of a pastoral priest. I will say this. It's a busy life. There is no such thing as sitting back. There is always something to be attended to. You're on the go from morning till night in most parishes. And I will also say this. It may sound like a lot of work, but there are so many joys in that work. It is so comforting to visit somebody who's shut in and to be there for them, knowing that this is their small world, that no longer can they get out in the full world that they are so used to, and that someone has come and given them a moment of comfort, listening, made them feel like they still are a part of that bigger world. It is also very comforting, yes, to go to wakes and to be there for people who have lost beloved ones, to go out to the cemetery and to bury people, and to be there with them at this moment, which is the most sorrowful in their lives. It is very comforting to go to a hospital and visit people there and try to give them courage and to buoy up their spirits. Just listen to them. It's wonderful when you come into such situations and people do recognize who you are and they do stop and talk with you, and there's always this social interconnection. And I think I'm speaking now for most priests and especially myself. What is very comforting is the preparation of a homily, entering into the Gospels and coming up with a new angle that was not there before in your own eyes, and then being able to give it out the next morning to people, and then have somebody come up and say, "Thanks, you really spoke to me at this moment." There are other things, again, that we could go on and on. There's baptisms and there's marriages, but generally those are on Sundays and at the end of the week. And I just wanted to give a portrait of a day, a weekly day, in the life of a parish priest. Amen.